and John in the car on the way over here, and all this stuff started coming out. I hadn't really verbalized all week, but I'd been freaking out about it. And it was, I think it really, it started last Sunday when everybody was talking to Daryl and everything, but I got all confused. I just got real confused about everything, because the main thing is I thought I'd been sitting here and sitting, you know, with you people for 7 years, and I thought I'd heard stuff that, or that I hadn't heard stuff that had been preached, you know. I thought that, you know, for whatever reason, that
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I'm getting to it.
Oh, okay.
I like to
work up to it.
You know, that I missed something, or that things have been filtered through my own, you know, ideas of the way things are, and come out, you know, my own twisted mind got the message a different way than it's being said. You know, but the deal was, is I couldn't figure it out. It's like, you know, a lot of it was just this either or stuff. Do we tell people what to do? Do we not tell people what to do? That was the big issue, because I get from Daryl in September, yeah, they're telling us what to do. Yeah, they're telling us what to do. I said, no, nobody's telling you what to do. Yes, they are. You weren't there then, because they were telling us what to do. Well, wait a minute. No. I was like, nobody can tell you what to do. It doesn't matter what you do. It's, you know, and I'm just, that's the part that really got me. I started just inside, because I thought, this is something different than what I've heard in a way, you know. And so then just everything started spiraling. You know, that was just one. Sex is the big issue. And that's a real big issue. And, but there are the other things. You know, you can get into that, with whether or not you should read books, you know, or because reading books is something that you want to do for you. You know, isn't it the same as... But, you know, it was still the... It felt like, and I think I pinpointed it in the car talking to John, is that it felt like I got down to the basics. I could get that far, and I could believe that much. There's God. There is a God. God is in control. He's in control, obviously, because he made this world. I mean, if he can make a world, then he can be in control. I can figure that much out. And I also know that there's an entity called a bride, and that there's this other arena going on, and there's, you know, there's a body and everything like that. And looking to that, looking to the bride and the, you know, the getting together of the bride, joining the bride stuff, then all our little everyday piddling things don't matter. They can't matter. And if they do, then we're not looking there, we're looking here. And that was a big part of it. But the thing that I really freaked out about was that I felt in agreement with this group here about doctrinal things, and yet there didn't seem to be great agreement, especially about sex. There seemed to be, it's okay to have sex. Well, no, it's not okay to have sex. Well, it's okay to have sex if you're thinking this. Well, no, it's not, because, and, you know, and it's just everybody is different about this, and it doesn't seem to be agreement. And if there's not agreement on sex, and sex is a pretty big issue, then is there agreement? And if there's no agreement, then are we separate? You know, it's just, whoosh. So, I was really in a position of unbelief Wednesday night when we had Bible study, and I think that's part of the reason why Andrea walked out. I don't know, but, because I wasn't in agreement about what was being preached, because I didn't believe it. And I'm not sure the confusion is gone. It doesn't seem to be gone, because it's rearing its ugly head. So, there. That's that.
The thing that started this was in Bananas, the Bananas meeting. And I asked a question, and I simply said, well, I said a lot of stuff, but one of the things I said was, you think having sex without marriage is sin?
I'd like to change my answer.
What?
I'd like to change my answer.
I put it on the basis of, I don't care, forget, I want to talk to you at the gut level. I want to know what you think. Is sex without marriage sin? It was an interesting response, because if I have for 10 years typified and spiritualized the meaning of the law to such an extent that you don't understand, that you can get by with sloth and lasciviousness, then I fail. What serveth the law? It serveth till the seed should appear. There's not one jot or tittle of the law that shall be abolished or destroyed. I'm not preaching perfection. I'm preaching that you and your desires of the flesh and everything about you must come against the law, so that you can totally turn from self and look only at Jesus. But if you, by your understanding of what's been preached, have lived in a point without law, without knowing law, without knowing what it is, thinking that it has been so spiritualized, what happens is then you live in license, or you live in sloth. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And that's the real issue. The issue is, how do you think about law? By what are you justified? What is it about your life that makes it meaningful? You're going to screw up, you're going to visit the bottom, but you won't stay there. However, you will stay there unless you know the law. I write unto you, I speak unto you that know the law. I've visited the bottom and I don't like the bottom. But praise God, by repentance and confession I return to His grace. And even if I have visited to the point where I am now reprobate, I can do nothing different than I am. The issue is none of these things. The issue is, by what do you justify yourself? By what do you justify your existence? By what do you make yourself right? You are they that justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts. For those things which are highly esteemed among men are abomination unto God. I want you to begin to take your level of existence to a point you've never dreamed possible. And I want you to begin in your imagination to see the number of times, not in a day, but the number of times in a minute, that you justify yourself. Then you will scream, you'll run screaming to the cross. I am sick and tired of hearing out of your mouth, out of my mouth, the subtleties of justifying whether or not you have done something. And the subtleties of saying in your what you do is you take the conversation and you turn it a half breath. And that turning of something causes you are yours to be justified in your mind against something or someone else. You do it constantly. And the reason you do it is because of sloth. I can't tell you how many times I have heard self-justification in the last few days. Now, it's obvious to hear self-justification among the Gentiles. That's the only way they know how to walk. But it's unforgivable for self-justification in this body. I don't care if it's over refrigerators or over logos. I don't care if it's over husbands or yourself. I don't care if it's over how much work you did or didn't do. The moment you justify yourself, you are under the law and you are subject to the law. I'm sick of it. And you're going to hear more preaching than you ever dreamed possible. And unless you exhort one another, you are without hope. The moment you see someone justify themselves, you must go at that with the sword of the Spirit and cut out its heart. If you don't, you don't love the person. Because if you don't, what you are doing is justifying yourself by your silence. Now, some of you, you don't know you're doing it because that's all you've ever done. God was made manifest in the flesh, but justified in the Spirit. Do you understand that? I don't think so. Jesus didn't justify himself subconsciously, consciously, in any way, in any situation. He was justified in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And your justification of yourselves is becoming so odious. It's a stench in the nostrils of God because it's establishing your own rightness. And it's abolishing the grace of God. And you're doing it because you don't know the law. And again, the sad part of it is that some of you have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the other night when you were asking about sin and sex, the next day, it's like my mind was opened and I could see that hundreds and hundreds of times that I had justified to myself. And it's almost out of my memory. I mean,
the moment you do, when you do that, you become the Jezebel.
And for 2 days, there was nothing but really bizarre memories of guilt. Not guilt,
sin. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Every time you do it, you are going under another green tree and playing the harlot. You can't do it anymore. It can no longer be done. It can no longer be pacified by kidding about it. It can no longer be pacified by jesting. It can no longer be pacified by vain babblings. It can no longer be pacified by silence and acceptance and tolerance. And the sad part of it is, I don't know about the rest of you, it's become so clear to me when I see it that it's like it's 6,000 red flags have jumped up and said, you know, and I say to myself, oh, I can't say that to them. They won't understand. They'll just justify themselves more. Well, that's rough. Because I'm about ready to cut off some hands and pluck out some eyes. Right hands and eyes, if the justification of self continues. You have one basis of rightness, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, his crucifixion and death and burial and resurrection. That's your only basis of justification. It doesn't matter if you have to slave without food or water for the rest of your life. If that's 3 days or 10 days, it doesn't matter. The next time I hear you, oh, well, I don't want to do that because this and this, or this is what I feel about that, or your own little fucking sincerity that is so, it's a stench that stinks to the high heavens. The Lord said unto me, in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, and I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. They love to sit before you as one who can play a pleasant instrument well. You are they which justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts, because your love for God is feigned, and the justification of self is the evidence that it's feigned, and you're in deep, deep, deep trouble. You're in more greater crisis than we've been in since the Bible study started. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. If I have been guilty of preaching to you in such a way with regard to the typification of law, and the typification and spiritualizing of what the law means and the types, and you have not seen what it means in the inner being, then I'm answerable to God. But as long as you can continue daily, daily, daily in your thought processes, in your inner relationships, in your relationships with me, to justify yourself, and you do it so subtly, so skillfully, go and proclaim and acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. See what you do with it. What you do in this arena. The moment you, and you do it so skillfully, so subtly, the moment you justify yourself, what you are doing is you're trusting in oppression. You're trusting in your ability to manipulate someone else, or trusting in someone else's ability to manipulate you. So you're not looking to the Father, and you have no covering. Therefore, your own worst fears will come upon you. He's put 1,000 obstacles in your path. so that you can recognize what it is, so that you can see it, so that you can see the depth of it. And you've obstinately and determinedly forged on ahead around it. And you give it all kinds of righteous reasons. But it's singular. It's one. You are still trying to establish your own rightness. Therefore, when I talk to you about grace, you have no understanding of what grace is. Grace is not possible to penetrate your understanding. You can go, I could speak to you until hell freezes over. Your ears are uncircumcised. You will not hear. Therefore, you will never know what grace is. Therefore, you're living in the sphere of law. And everything I've talked to you about for 10 years has gone and bounced off some rubber eardrums or someplace. The evidence is in the mouth. It's how you respond to stimulus, how you respond to need. You respond to need by justifying your fucking selves. Oh, I worked harder than they did. Oh, I did this. Or this is the reason that happened. Lay down on your face before God. I'd love to see it, where justifying yourself was the exception. I don't think you understand what I said earlier. The miracle, I show you a great mystery, a mystery beyond mysteries, that God was manifest in the flesh, but justified in the Spirit. Do you have any idea what this means? Remember all the times I've talked to you about how Christ, he did nothing but what he saw the Father doing? Well, that means he never justified himself. The moment, I mean, it sounds so righteous to feel the need to justify yourselves. That's what the whole world does. They can't exist without doing it. We are not of the world. You justify yourselves in you even justify yourselves in your confessions. Job had an interesting statement, if I can find it. Oh, yeah, here it is. Job says, if I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. The most cogent sentence that Job wrote about this issue. can you understand what the law is now? A little bit? Again, you have a... The thing is, you're either totally in one realm or totally in the other. If there is the slightest propensity in you to justify anything, you or yours, or the personal pronouns, as we've talked about, then the mouth reveals that you're in the sphere of the law. It's so simple. Your response to it, I can hear it. I can hear the bleating of the sheep in my ears. I can hear, it's like in the spiritual ears, I can hear your bleatings. You're justifying your justifications. Or you're putting them off on someone else. Or you're saying something like that, fucking Ollie. If you don't understand me, please speak up. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Hallelujah. And we're talking about backs to smiters being spat upon, and you're talking about some little shit thing that happens to you, and the instant response is to justify it. Please understand me. Listen. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be disappointed. Hallelujah. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? I mean, I'm speaking this as a fool, as Paul says, but I dare one of you to contend with me right now. Tell me what you're speaking. Tell me what you're speaking to yourself. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near. Come here, sucker. Not because of my strength, but because of my weakness. Not because of my possessions, but because of my emptiness. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all you that kindle your own fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of that fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. And this shall ye have of mine hand, you shall lie down in sorrow. Don't you see what happens when you kindle your own fire and walk in those imagined sparks? That's what you're doing when you try to justify your existence, to try to justify your rightness about anything, to try to justify your ownership. I don't care if I ask you for the title to your house. That's my job. It's not your job to say whether or not it's righteous. I have to answer to God for it. You know me well enough to know I'm not going to do that. But that's not the issue. Behold, all you that from this moment forward, unless you turn and repent, if you continue to kindle your own fire and walk in those imagined sparks, you'll have of the hand of God that you shall lie down in sorrow. Why? Because you've made the cross of Christ of none effect. Why? Because you've made his resurrected life and you, the fact that you possess all things, you've made it a joke. And you're saying with your mouth that you love God, but with your heart, you're fainted, you're acting. I don't care if somebody gets all the credit that you did something. You opened not your mouth. The response to it isn't the desire to change, it's the desire to quit being at all. Because if you don't, in the secret places of your heart, you will lie down, and what will you do? You will automatically turn on that person, and you will murder them. And you will shed blood. And you won't have the guts to shed blood in the flesh, but you will shed the blood in the spirit. This isn't a light thing, folks. This is what it means to cast down imaginations. Read Isaiah. That's what I just read, is Isaiah 50. Writing to Timothy, and he's hoping you see him. And he said, these things write unto you shortly, write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to conduct thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Justified in the Spirit. 1 Timothy 3:16. Do you see the power of being only justified in the Spirit? That your being then is poured out. There's never once the propensity to protect or justify you or yours. Can you taste the freedom of that? Justification of the flesh is the law. Justification of the spirit is grace and truth. But you desire You show to God. God didn't give a holy rat's ass what you... And he didn't care if you come to Bible study 12 times a week. He doesn't care if you search the scriptures 24 hours a day, 25 hours a day. God cares about the heart, the imaginations. And God says he's designed us in such a way that that condition of that heart is revealed in the words that we speak. You can't fake it. Now some of you think I'm a total and complete bastard. And it doesn't matter. Because I can honestly say with Paul, it's a small thing if I'm judged by you. I judge not mine own self. He that judges or justifieth me is the Lord. He's not justifying me as an individual, but the local point, the foci of my justification has absolutely nothing to do with me. It's him. I mean, that's the only thing in me that's worthy of emulating. It's a small thing if I'm judged by you. I pray that I don't even judge my own self. For he that justifieth me is God. Taste the freedom of that for once in your life and get rid of the leaven of Herod. All of these are interconnected. You wonder why there's no part, what your imaginings with regard to prosperity is because you're asking him to bless cursed ground. And you will remain so that you must eat the fruit of your labor and you must work in the sweat of your brow as long as you are existing in the cursed ground. And you will be poor the rest of your life. You will never be able to minister to anyone because you're too concerned with yourself. You'll be continually trying to pour from an empty cup because that which is supposed to be poured out as the drink offering is consumed on you.
That crap this afternoon about the logo, that amazed even me. But had I not judged myself and had I not judged what came out of my mouth, it would have been dealt with immediately. It felt so awful and so that I just tried to hide it. And I mean, I knew that you saw it and heard it, and I knew that you saw it.
Well, I cried inside.
God, all I wanted to do was hide. It was just...
I was talking to Paul yesterday. Paul spent a lifetime trusting in oppression. He trusted either in someone else's ability to control him, which he did privately in his fantasy life, and he trusted in his ability to control others in his outward life. And so therefore, the blustering, the ha-ha-ha, the perfect Santa Claus, is bullshit. And he's just beginning to glimpse the freedom that's available. Will you never again have to trust in oppression? I saw it, I almost exploded in joy when when I said some things that he knew, he saw, he apprehended. And I saw, I was concerned that Patty and Paul were going to make it through this week, much less a lifetime of commitment. But I saw it, and when he saw, now he can be the covering which can cause Patty to see, and it'll be Patty's instrument of her freedom. But the subtlety is you don't have to trust in oppression anymore. And because of that, you can be free. Just bubble forth. Who gives a crap? You've set your face like flint. If God isn't bubbling forth out of me, then screw it. It's not worthy of messing with anyway.
I think that was the most poignant part of the whole thing was And I had, and I'd forgotten that there ain't any place else to go.
Oh, that's the other thing I told him. Yeah, I never said this before. Let me tell him. This is good. I want to tell you folks something. We are at the gate of hell. You have no other place to go. You either go to hell or to the New Jerusalem. There's no other place you can go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big time. This is really big time, folks. I challenge any of you to go somewhere else. It would be like you can't. There is nowhere else. Because why? Not because I don't know whether it's preached or not. That's immaterial to me. It's because God has appointed you a place to die. Well, this sounds like a cult. Well, so what?
Who gives a shit?
We are living in a place that they have... We are eating from an altar that they have no right to eat of. Hallelujah. We are no longer living in cursed ground. Stop giving the deceiver any ground. Just, you don't have to do that anymore. Give and it shall be given. But your role is to be we shall judge worlds that you haven't even dreamed of yet. And universes. And you're worried about some little fucking possession? You own all things. The only reason that a need is expressed is to provide an opportunity for you to lay down your life. It doesn't matter. What in the hell is a gnat to an elephant? That's what any conceivable need is to us. But I want you to begin to hear with ears. And hear when you justify yourself. Hear the number of times you use the personal pronoun. Don't try to change it. Confess it. Move on. That's the inheritance. That's the lot. That's our rightful possession. Let's possess what we possess. Manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah! Justified in the spirit. Won't somebody contend with you? Huh. Read Isaiah 50.
You're gonna have preaching, isn't it? Throwing water on the sparks.
Pissing on them.
Yeah.
It's so funny you would choose that one.
Yeah.
I'm going to read a little bit. Don't go to 1 Kings chapter 8. And this is the process by which the Ark of the Covenant has been brought into the temple. And then the temple is dedicated. And then the glory of the Lord fills the temple. And then there's a provision in this prayer of Solomon at the dedication of the temple in 1 Kings 8. I'm going to start reading in verse 37. or verse 35. When heaven is shut up and there's no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land, which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. And the land is this mystery that Paul talks about, this new Jerusalem that's our inheritance. It's here, it's right in front of us. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all the people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart. See, that, I mean, even here they gave us the indicator that they're talking about the plagues of the heart, not the external. That the external is an automatic once this is dealt with. Hey, my God. When Christ had a need and there was a debt to be paid, he reached into the fish's mouth and took out the money. What prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all the people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart. And spread forth his hands towards this house of which that one was the pattern. Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man. Whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning the stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake. For they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy outstretched arm. When he shall come and pray toward this house, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. And if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive, unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Now some of you have been delivered over to the hand of the enemy, and you've been living and struggling. You don't need to be there anymore, because it's near. The word is near, even in thy mouth, even in thy heart. It's here. It comes immediately when you say, no more justification, Father. My life is to be broken bread and poured out wine for thy service. No more walking in the vanity of my mind. No more living in sloth. No more living in lasciviousness. No more giving heed to the wiles of the fiery darts of the enemy. No more kindling your own fires. No more justification. And any dimension of your being. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives into the land of the enemy, far and near. Yet, if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee, in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, We have sinned, we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemy which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have transgressed against thee all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord our God. For the 150th time, try to listen to these words. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidest thou not, there is no hope, for thou hast found the life of thine hand, and therefore thou hast not grieved. You're grieved to a point, only to the point where you come to some surface resolution of a problem. I don't care whether it's your marriage, I don't care whether it's just you're justifying yourself, I don't care, because that's all you do. And every time you do it, you're outside the camp. And you don't understand that. You think it's I'm telling you to change. I don't want you to change. You're gone. You're history. You have one hope. And that singular hope is to find out who God is. You no longer have the luxury of saying, oh God, I'm up there and I'm going to go to you once a Sunday and I'll get charismatic and I'll pray and I'll say, holy loly. And I'll speak in tongues. You have the only luxury of saying, that man in the flesh right there is God himself, manifest in the flesh, justified by the Spirit. It doesn't matter whether he lies like and cheats and steals and doesn't know how to be a husband and can't fuck and can't do anything. He is all you know of God, and he's your only hope. Until you see that, you're outside the camp. And I didn't put you there. And I'm not asking you to change. I don't. That's what you have to see. Wives, submit yourself unto your husbands as unto the Lord. You have never in your entire marriage done that once. Because you have lived in the illusion that some great amorphous God that has some form that you hope that you've created in your own image is there and he's going to protect you and you get charismatic every once in a while.
It's the only thing that can bring us out of sloth is that somebody saying, okay, you.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
Yes.
Whoa.
Thinking these things.
I was thinking about these people that come to these Bible studies too. And when you think of, you know, like I'm all they know of God at that point. You know? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with us when we were coming and listening to you. Or,
right. Because it's so crystalline.
The whole body.
Yeah, that's what God has a great sense of humor because he doesn't make it just a little bit different. He makes it black and white. Yeah. And you didn't choose him. That's where some of you get confused, because you think you've given your life to God. You've chosen him. No. Then if you think you've chosen him, then you can think, I can't do it, or I can do it, or I can do this, or I can do that. But once and for all time, see that he chose you.
And the place of sacrifice.
And he chose the place of sacrifice. And he chose this idiot to scream and yell at you.
Amen.
Amen for the
idiot. You didn't want an amen.
Don't put your hand in.
No. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And how did he love that church? He let it go so that it found out that there was no life in Noah in any other position.